Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Hardy.
How are you doing?
Hi, fellas. How are we doing?
You did a good job yesterday.
Thanks.
Jim, some guy called in and said, Zoe, I love you and Jim there on the show. Jim Hardy.
Yeah, you're our co-host there, Jim Hardy.
Hell of a guy.
We're off and running, man.
Jim Hardy.
I've gotten Greg Hardy before. I'll take Jim.
Well, he was a nasty man.
I'll take Jim.
Bad man.
Greg Hardy.
Celtics get any better while I was gone? Anything improve on the Celtics front?
Well, I don't know. They haven't played.
We have Brad Stevens today. We're going to talk to Brad Stevens at 12:50.
Players are starting to speak for him that we need to bust ass for the coach.
Well, let's
get
to that.
Play hard for coach.
Marcus Smart said this, speaking to Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports, NBC Sports Boston. He said, Brad's going to take the blame because Brad's a great coach. Marcus Smart said, any great coach is going to see what he can do better. That's what a leader does. And Brad is the leader of this team. Everything he feels is going to fall on him.
Okay. Can I tell you what I think that means?
What's that mean?
Okay, so I consider this guy a veteran player. He's been around here. He gets it here. He gets the environment here, okay? We all love Marcus
Longest
Smart.
Longest tenured Celtic, Marcus Smart. He's been here longer than any other player.
We're starting to get a now that the fact that you speak, the way you speak and the timing of how you speak, you've got enough sampling size now to where maybe the coach has tried different things. To where, I don't want to say he's emptied the kitchen sink. I mean, you're always evolving and adapting as a coach. I think Brad's obviously one of the best, mm-hmm. not one of the better ones in the league. But it tells me that, hey, he's tried everything to this point, and we're not responding. And off of Kyrie's comments that we need to bring, be nice to have a 15-year vet in here to help from a leadership standpoint. Like, that started at the beginning of the week. Now you got Marcus Smart saying, it's time we go out and just bust our ass for the coach because it looks like he's done everything to this point to try and get us going, and it ain't working.
Marcus Smart says at the same time he's not out there playing, we are. So at some point as a team, we got to step up and we got to cover Brad's ass just like he covers ours by putting us in the right positions.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good comment by Smart.
We got to go out there and give him that sign of respect by bringing everything we've got every night and playing our ass off.
Do you like what comes out of his mouth and what's spewing out of his mouth right now, or do you like what's coming out of Jaylen Brown's? And based on how this year started for Jaylen Brown. Because it seems like the young kids right now aren't getting it. That tells me a guy like Marcus Smart, of all people, you know what I mean? We talk about the big five here and how good this team is, and maybe your big three, but your starting five and how talented they are. Here's a guy that comes off the bench that gets it because he's been here. He's a grit player. He's an energy player.
Smart said, I think our accountability across the board just needs to be better. But that starts with me. This is a quote from Stevens. That was Stevens the other night. I've got to do a better job, and I will.
Right.
That was Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens will be with us coming up at 12:50 today. Here's what I believe.
When are we going to practice that?
And based on hearing Chris Forsberg sort of talk about this on Boston Sports Tonight, he's talked about how this sort of played out. Mm-hmm. It sounds like going back a few days, Celtics lose. Brad says his whatever he says as the head coach after the game. He leaves the room. Marcus Smart rips into everybody. Rips into the team. Gives it to everybody. Says we got it. Basically what he's saying publicly now, days later, is what he said privately to the team. Said we've got to be more accountable. We've got to play our ass off. We owe it to our coach.
Recognizes it.
This is on us. We play the game, not him.
It's a tough league. I mean, it's a grind for those guys. It's a superstar type league. Usually the teams run the run. I mean, excuse me, the players run the teams. It's usually not the coaches in that league. I think it's different here. I think Marcus Smart's starting to see that. Hey guys, wake up, because we got a good guy here. We got a good coach. And we're not responding to what he's asking us to do.
So this is Sunday night in Portland, and then after that, what happens? Kyrie Irving speaks to the media. We've played that for you. We could play it again.
Looking at this locker room, just, you know, me being in my eighth year and being a quote-unquote veteran, as well as Al and Baines, and, you know, right now I think that it would be nice if we had someone that was a 15-year vet, 14-year vet, that could kind of help us race along the regular season, understand that it's a long marathon rather than just a full-on sprint of just, you know, when you want to play, when you want to do what you want to do. So
okay, so now there's Kyrie Irving. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you Marcus Smart's the greatest leader, because I question some of his decision-making on and off the court. You know? I mean, sort of an immature player at times. We all know that. I'm not sitting here pumping Marcus Smart's tires. But, hey, maybe, okay, Kyrie steps up first, says that the other night. So now you got your longest tenured Celtic, all right, responding to that. We need more guys doing this. This is good by Marcus Smart. It's the best thing he said since he's been here.
Okay, well, to go back to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving has those comments 5, 10 minutes, well, I don't know, 20 minutes, whatever it might be, after Brad speaks. And then you've got Marcus Smart rip into the team. And it doesn't sound like Kyrie Irving had anything to do with that. And then Kyrie Irving goes to the media and says this, putting it back on the young guys. I would like to know, who is it that Kyrie is calling out when he says the young guys? It's easy to say, oh, the young guys on the team. Who? Name them. Is it Jaylen Brown?
I think it starts there.
Is it Jason Tatum?
I think it's Brown 1, Tatum 2.
Is it Marcus Smart, who's 24 years old? Couple years younger than Kyrie. Remember, Kyrie's only 26. He's not that old himself.
Right.
So he is the guy in the room who actually has won something before. He is the guy, Kyrie Irving, who had to leave Cleveland because it couldn't be his team. It was always going to be LeBron's team, and he needed his own team. Well, he's the guy now. This is his team. We've been saying that all along. If anything has been established, if any identity for this Celtics team has been established early on, it is that this is Kyrie Irving's team. Kyrie is the guy who can close. Kyrie is the guy who can put a team on his back and win games. Not that we didn't really, you know that about his talent, but he's sort of proving it night in, night out, right?
Yeah.
He either doesn't want to be that locker room leader, or he's not good at being that locker room leader. It's one of the two things.
He either sucks at it or
doesn't want to do it.
Like Bledsoe was the same way. Bledsoe didn't want to verbally lead. He wanted to just play. You know, but sometimes that gets thrown on your lap or put on your back that, hey, we're looking around. Who's the leader here?
But man,
you're the guy. You're the star.
But why is it not okay that Marcus Smart would be your leader then? He doesn't want it to be anyone else's team that, what, is any good and actually plays real minutes. It has a real impact on the court. Is that what it is?
Spotlight.
Is that why he's begging for the 14, 15-year vet, whatever the hell he's looking for, in the form of an old guy? Get the old guy in here?
Right.
I mean, based on this, based on what Marcus Smart is saying, all right, they've got a guy in there that's ripping into everybody. What do you need an old guy for? I think Marcus Smart's comments, in a way, make Kyrie Irving look bad for how Sunday night played out postgame. It does.
But
why
also,
are you saying
you want,
this?
Do you want Marcus Smart leading this team?
No.
I want anybody leading the team.
No, but I want
a guy who swiped, quote unquote, swiped a picture on the wall and was out for a key stretch of the season last year.
Okay, but what does that have to do with telling everyone to get their heads out of their asses and go after,
I like what he said. I don't want him to become a leader,
well.
Though.
But here's the only problem with it, Jim, is that if it's falling on deaf ears because other guys look at him and say, oh, screw you, Marcus, you couldn't even keep your head on straight to not punch
the
wall and smash your hand open last year. That's an issue. I don't care if he's the leader or not. What I care is they have someone in there that's willing to say these things and players actually respond to it. So you're right. Maybe other guys don't respond to it.
He's like the Rudy in that locker room. Like, he's the guy that...
Oh,
NBA,
no.
Yes, he's the guy that busts his ass every possession, all the time, and other guys look at him like, you're making me look bad, dude. You're playing hard all the time.
Sort of like that
teacher's
pet. That's
the NBA mentality.
That teacher's pet type of thing? Like, yeah, slow
Stevens
down.
Obviously loves him. He's talked about him all through that stretch last year when he was in and had that off the field stuff or off the court stuff going on. And Stevens, every week, he'd come on our show and talk positively about Marcus Smart.
So, what's the difference between a guy like Marcus Smart being a locker room leader and the guys we've seen on other teams in other sports? Chris Kelly with the Bruins, Matthew Slater with the Patriots, guys who are not marquee players. There are guys you can go out and win or lose, and their contributions are going to be negligible week in and week out. As you know, as much as I know Bill hates to say, you know, hear that about a special teams player. What's the difference if Marcus Smart is that guy in the Celtics locker room?
Well, the only thing that matters is whether or not the other guys respect him.
The league. Different
That's
league.
What it comes
Every
down to.
Every league's different.
Players,
and stars run that league.
Like, players respect, you know, the guys you mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't respect Marcus Smart, then this is useless. He can't be the guy.
Brady and Gronk and Edelman, they respect Matthew Slater.
Right. Right.
Players
that are better than him and have more of an impact on the team respect him.
Okay.
So the stars respect him. But for some reason, maybe Kyrie Irving doesn't respect Marcus Smart. I don't know. I have no idea, but maybe it's about that whole room not respecting him because he's the guy who punches the wall and rips open his hand and misses time.
I think it might be about the whole sport, too. I mean, this is a sport where the best player on the team oftentimes becomes the de facto coach or the default coach. I mean,
welcome to the NBA, pal.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic in NBA locker rooms a lot of the time, so it might be tough for anybody.
But if that's the case, and with what Jim says, that Brady, Gronk, Hogan, Edelman, they all respect Slater. Because why? Because Bill has made it an even playing field in that locker room.
Here's what I would
say. He's demanded that.
Why would you not
respect Stevens do that if he is so in Marcus Smart's side?
Why would you not respect Kyrie Irving? What would be the reason?
From a player standpoint?
Yeah, from a player standpoint. Why would anyone have an issue with Kyrie Irving being the guy who leads?
I don't know that they would have a lack of respect for him. I just don't know how.
Maybe they know he defers. Maybe they know and sense that he doesn't want to be that.
I don't know how inspirational he is.
Yeah. Maybe they get tired of the talking.
I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who's going to inspire other people to play hard and to go out there and get wins and give it their all. And, like, Slater could do that. Kelly could do that. Dustin Pedroia, I think, could do that for a long time.
You know, when you talk as much as Kyrie does and you're doing all these interviews and you're making movies, and at some point it starts to wear on a player if you continually hear the same player always talking about everything. And it tends to go right over your head. Unless you get a guy who just cares about basketball, and that's all I'm going to talk about.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So you've consistently told us something over the years about how Bill Parcells dealt with players, about how he got through to players, which is that he knew how different guys responded differently, right?
Yeah. 53 different ones. 53 different makes and models, and you got to be able to push the buttons on each one. Boy, did he know how to do it.
Maybe the Celtics have a situation like that. They got a lot of young players, right? They're a younger team. What have we learned about younger professional athletes in the last few years? They all like to be coddled.
Got to kiss their ass. Just like Mike Gundy said.
That's how they respond. That's how you respond.
Those millennials.
That's what they like.
Yeah.
They don't respond to getting their ass kicked anymore. They respond to, you can do it. You're the best.
Yeah. You know what? We're gonna feed them positivity.
You know? T-H-I-N-K type of things.
Right.
You know?
T-H.
They respond better to Stedman.
Did you hear any of this yesterday?
I heard bits and pieces.
No,
Jim played me bits and pieces this morning. I didn't hear any of it yesterday.
I got people
around
me. They
forget to T-H-I-N-K.
Yeah, they respond to all this phony baloney positive thinking crap is what they all respond to. That's what they respond to. That's how they, you know, function. So Kyrie's saying, we need to get that old guy in here, you know, come in, kick some ass, take some names. What if that's not what they need? What if they need someone to give them a pat on the butt and say, you're the best, kiddo. You know, here's a trophy.
I'm a firm believer in the snowflake.
Oh, God.
Gundy.
Right?
What are you doing?
Maybe that's what needs to happen here.
What are you doing, boy? This guy's going to start playing hard.
They need someone to motivate them in different ways.
I think of Twitter. That's what Gundy did last week. Think of Twitter. I don't care about nothing.
I mean, look at Kyrie Irving. Is he like a fiery guy?
No, he seems like...
which is why he's contemplating flat earth theories.
Yes, Duke kid, I'm a thinker. You know, I have all these thoughts in my mind that I'm processing. I think at times when you hear that as a player, like sometimes you just want to go and you want a ball, you know? I don't need a thinker type. I don't need the guy to tell me everything's this way or that way outside the locker room. Or, you know, but then all of a sudden...
Just look at the personalities. Kyrie, Tatum, Brown. Are those fiery guys? No. Are those your Marcus Smart types?
Horford's not. Horford's a laid-back, gentle giant.
That's true, too.
You know, hey, he tweeted the other day, we just got to keep on pushing, you know, keep on trying, keep on chugging.
So maybe what Kyrie's seeing is that this group is not going to respond to Marcus Smart ripping everybody up and down. We're not like him.
How many a-holes did Kyrie play with in Cleveland? I'm trying to think. Like, okay, you had LeBron. Obviously, you know what he thought of LeBron. But I'm talking about edge guys, you know?
J.R. Smith has got a little bit of that.
He's a little wacko. Doesn't he? Needs a little, like, doesn't Marcus Smart have a little wacko in him? A little bit. Not to J.R. Smith's extent, but...
Hey, LeBron plays with an edge.
Yeah.
Please.
Right. You need a little bat... It didn't come all the way out. You need a little bat bleep crazy.
No, it did.
No, it did not.
Now, if I said it last week, you said it this week.
I cut it off. You need bat bleep crazy. You do. You need one guy. Every team, every sport.
The problem is, Hardy, you cut it off, so you have to not make the T sound.
Hardy, yes or no?
I didn't make the T sound.
Did he say it? Did he say it?
Yeah.
Hardy's the judge.
So you need...
He's the arbiter.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
We got how many calls? We got how many calls on Monday after the Patriots game? They don't have any intimidators. They don't get anybody who'll knock you know what in the dirt. They don't get any mean guys. Maybe you're right a little bit. You know, you see it in spots from certain guys, like one or two. You'll get a hit here or there every four or five games. But, you know, you remember when it was Legion of Boom in Seattle. They were taking heads off every damn series.
I thought we decided, though.
I'm not saying you need that in basketball, but, like, okay, so you got Draymond Green. You got crazy out there in the West, right?
Well, that's, yeah. Hey, speaking of which.
Which, they're going through something.
Speaking of which, how's that working out for them?
Stirs it up, though.
Oh, Draymond apparently there's not getting along with Kevin Durant.
There's a full-blown meltdown in that locker room
tonight.
He'll probably
win that one.
I'll tell you, the Celtics are picking a hell of a year to underachieve, aren't they?
Yeah, I like Draymond's chances in that one, too, but I don't like Kevin Durant's chances of sticking around after this season if Draymond's still going to be there.
Well, that's what the whole fight was about.
Well, the fight was about Draymond Green taking the ball down the court. And
have you not read the latest on this?
Tried to take the last shot.
Draymond questioned Durant when he got in his face about him leaving at the end of the season.
On the sideline.
He started bitching at him about you're leaving at the end of the year. What the bleep do you care?
Yeah, and then he walked out of the huddle.
That
said,
all happened
I'm
on the court, Hardy.
I didn't hear that.
Yes, and then it went into the locker room and they had a full-blown fight in there.
Any chance?
The whole team went after Draymond Green in the locker room after the game. Yes.
I like Draymond's chances in that one, too.
Draymond
like 14
was,
on one. I'll take
I like
Draymond.
Crazy.
I like
Draymond crazy. Was chirping Durant about him leaving at the end of the year.
You think maybe he was thinking about that beforehand, that he just didn't think of it in the moment?
Yeah, no, I think that was something that's probably been under
the
surface.
You got that
there.
Detroit bad boy.
It's a little bit of tension there.
Pistons.
Michigan State little. Guy.
But really, what a year that the Celtics choose to come out of the gate flat when Golden State might be on the verge of a meltdown and needing to trade some guys away. Who knows what's happening there? But I read the reports this morning. ESPN, yeah, they're all saying it's like the most contentious situation they've seen in this Golden State era. And don't forget when they won last year, how they told us, you know, Steve Kerr telling you, if you only knew what this locker room went through last year, right? Remember all those things after the fact?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, if you only knew
so hard.
How close this thing was to being ripped apart and how they found a way to get back together and win. Well, looks like this year might be the year it gets ripped apart. Who knew?
Couldn't happen to a better group of guys.
Jim loves it. Jim hates them. Jim, I don't know anyone that hates
Golden
State.
Maybe Kerr should just let them coach again. Maybe she let Draymond coach this game.
I'd love to see Draymond smack that stupid mouthpiece out of Curry's mouth. Just have a fun. Screw you, Katie. I don't need you. I'm going to go slap Curry. That'd be great.
617-779-0985. Frank is in Worcester. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Nothing. So I was thinking back to the beginning of the season. And when the new facility opened up, Toucher and Rich were interviewing Danny Ainge, and they were talking about what Danny's plan was in case of something similar to what's happening now was going to go on, like if the team was on a losing streak. And he was saying, maybe I'll bring them back to the old facility, like where he used to play with Bird and all of them, to kind of make them feel like, you know, they have to work to to earn all of these.
It's like when Rocky, Rocky, when he got all popular and stuff. Like,
that's exactly what I was.
Had to go and lift the wood, the big logs and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, what's that? It's a Hellenic, right, in Brookline, where they used to practice back in the day. It's like a high school gym. Should bring him there.
I think so. I feel like that would be something good to take.
Like a Hoosiers moment, yes. Break out the tape measure and start measuring the thing.
No snapback rims, no lights, just the windows that lighten the court.
But again, I don't know if they're going to respond to that.
See that broom over there? Why don't you guys go push it and sweep the court?
Steve is in the car. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Joe, Beetle, what's happening?
Hey, Steve.
What's up, Steve?
All right, listen, this is my question, and I've heard that there's a lot of redundancy with the Celtics roster as far as Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown. When they're on the court together, they can't seem to gel. And you got Rozier and Kyrie. You got Rozier complaining, and it's sort of like we know what Rozier did last year in the playoffs, so we can kind of handle that position. My question is, do you lose too much if you could trade Kyrie and Jaylen Brown and package them together? Because also with what's going on with Durant now, and he may leave Golden State and go to New York, isn't that where Kyrie wanted to go? What's to say that Kyrie at the end of the year says, you know what, I'm going to New York. See you, Danny.
So you're trading them to where? Golden State? For
well,
who?
This is what,
for Durant?
No, not to Golden State.
Who are you trading
Golden
them to?
State. No. Well, that's what I don't know, Beetle, but I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, you got to figure out where they're going and what we're getting in return.
Sounds good.
Before we come up with that idea. Before we start trading away the roster. But you know what I think is starting to get annoying? Is that all these issues are somehow how the roster was built. And how Gordon Hayward is here now. And because of that, the Celtics are playing poorly. Now, they're telling you that these issues go beyond what they're doing. In terms of scheme, in terms of lineups, in terms of minutes, all of that.
Yeah.
The players themselves. Kyrie Irving is telling you this. Marcus Smart is telling you this.
They make
their problems are with their heads. That they are not going out and playing well. They're not giving their best on a nightly basis because they can't get out of their own way.
What do you think? Brad hasn't had different film sessions, hasn't tried to tweak something, hasn't tried a different rotation, hasn't talked differently to different guys.
You can go around the NBA, though, and find a lot of rosters that have a lot of redundancy on it, and they find ways to make it work.
Yeah.
And this team can find a way to make all of that work. By the end of the season, I hope we're looking at that going, that was silly to think that was the case.
Sure.
Because that's not the issue. The issue is that they're not going out and they're not playing well. Individually, they're not at 100%. And it appears to be some sort of mental issue that's going on with the team right now. 617-779-0985. Tuukka Rask was back yesterday for the Bruins. He made his return to the Bruins locker room. He was on the ice. Let's touch on that coming back right after these headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins and Celtics both get back to work tonight. First Celtics tip off at 7:30 against the Bulls. Celtics trying to wash off the stench of a 5-game road trip where they picked up only one win. We'll talk to Celtics coach Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the call starting with the pregame at 7 on 105.7 WROR. Bruins begin a 4-game road trip tonight. They're in Denver. Jaro Halak going to get the start in net. Although, as Beetle just said, Tuukka Rask did return to practice yesterday. Bruce Cassidy said that he expects Tuukka to get the start for one of the games this weekend. Judd Zerot and Bob Beers will bring us the latest, starting with the pregame at 9:30 here on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot. Patriots, one practice today, and then they'll be off for the rest of the bye week before their next game, which is a week from Sunday at the New York Jets.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and foremost, I want to thank all the people who sent me messages and contacted me and supported me. Second of all, I want to thank the Boston Bruins for giving me the opportunity to take time off with my family. And I've never been more proud to be a part of this family, the Boston Bruins, because we talked about a lot that this is a family and we are a family and we take care of each other when times are tough. And
hopefully the time away was what he needed to get squared away and he's ready to go back to work. That's kind of the approach we're going to take with him and see how it plays out going forward.
If you haven't done so already, make sure you download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I got it.
In whichever app store you're using, whether it be Android or Apple, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app today. Stream us at any time. All of our podcasts are in there as well. That is both Tuukka Rask and Bruce Cassidy yesterday after Tuukka made his return to the team after a weekend, extended long weekend, week of absence. Left on Friday, comes back yesterday on Tuesday, so he had three full days to do whatever it is he needed to do on the home front. As he said, needed to make some things right. So he's back now. You can speculate about what it is all you want. We've all heard things. All of us. We've all heard things, though. Who knows what's right, what's real? I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
But here's what I think going forward, based on...
He'll be back between the pipes, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you giggled like a little little kid when you retweeted that yesterday. I saw that.
Okay.
But he is back now. And based on just that one comment for Bruce Cassidy, we'll see how it plays out going forward. That, to me, is opening the door to have Tuukka suffer some sort of consequences in the workplace going forward. He may have lost his job here.
Did sound over like the weekend. Like Cassidy's like, yeah, well, you know what? Here's how we're going to approach this. Like, he asked for the time off. He needed it. We gave it to him. I have no clue how he's coming back. We got a guy now that we rallied around this weekend, got our ass kicked 8-5. Halak goes out, plays well on Saturday, gets some sleep, talked about how well rested he was. Rest of the team rallied around it. And we'll see how Tuukka does. We'll see. We'll see.
I think there's a possibility that the team is going to hold perfectly. It against him in the time off that he took back-to-back last weekend, that he already was not playing well before he took that leave of absence. Halak was already making the case to be the number one goaltender on this team. This may factor into the decision. Okay. He may pay a price for getting right over the weekend.
I think also
I'm ready to move on now, so thank you.
Okay.
I know that he's ready to move on. Of course he's ready to move on. Maybe the team isn't going to forget it.
And this could be good for the team, though, so the team's got to be careful here. Like, to watch, you know, what are you going to hold against? I'm not saying they're going to hold it against the guy.
They may not even consciously hold it against him.
This might be good because now, okay, we legitimately know what the hell's bugging this guy. Like, okay, there's not some precipitous drop in play. There's not a cliff. He's not focused. He's not in. There's something bugging him. Now we need to get it out of the way and let the kid play. Now, if he comes back and starts to play well, and you could see there's a difference in him the way this first month and a half's gone for him, then that's better for the team.
They will be quicker to put Halak in as the number one goalie and install him as the number one goalie.
Halak's your
guy. If they have questions about where his head is at, they will factor this in.
Okay, here's
where the guy needed a leave of absence for 3 days.
But here's where I think Tuukka has the advantage here. Halak is going to be on a shorter leash than if the roles were reversed, because I think the Bruins think, and I think most people think, if you put him under the truth serum, who is just technically raw baseline, who's the more talented goalie? Who's the better goalie?
They would take Tuukka Rask.
They would say Tuukka Rask. So
what does that matter?
Because if Yaro's, it's his job now to lose, right? He's your number one guy for whatever that means.
No, not yet. I don't think so. Not yet. I think it's getting close.
Oh, right now he is.
Oh, he's definitely number one. He's
your
number one goalie right
now. Well, Tuukka just went away for half a week.
Whose fault's that?
Right?
Maybe not. Okay.
The coach is not saying that.
Maybe not in the eyes in the franchise, or if they were ever to put a name to that thing. But in practice, he's the guy right now.
Yes.
And Tuukka's certainly going to have to not only prove himself and play well, but he's going to have to wait for Yaro to fall off. Because if they go on a streak right now and they're winning a lot more than they're losing, and the goals against stay like they are, and even if Tuukka plays well, why are we going to flip this and give Tuukka more starts in net than we would Halak? Why would they do that?
They wouldn't.
But it's not going to take as big a drop off from Halak if the roles were reversed.
Okay,
right now.
My point is this, though: the leash on Tuukka being the number one guy just got shorter.
Yeah,
because for all intents, he still is the guy. He still is the guy. I think the leash has gotten shorter. I mean, we could say, in practice, Halak's the number one guy. Yeah, but he really isn't. I mean, How is the team approaching that right
now?
The
number one guy only means something when you get into the postseason and who's your starting goaltender tonight. That's the only time it means anything.
It means a lot more there, but doesn't it mean something in the short term in terms of who's starting more?
It's a top.
Who's spotting who here?
Well, right now it's Halak.
Yeah. On him.
You should turn your microphone on if you're going to do that.
I'm with him.
You're with
Halak. Team Halak.
I'm sorry.
Yaroslav. I just like his first name. Yaroslav. Hey, Yaroslav. Welcome back. Welcome back to the circus, pal. Buckle up, big boy.
Okay. All right. So I think that he could pay a price for this, is what I believe. I think he could pay a price somewhere, you know, in the next few weeks, he could pay that price.
So say the team didn't know about whatever issue he had to deal with.
Well, don't you think the team had to know before they granted him a leave of absence?
Well, I mean, this may have got dropped in their lap.
You don't go in and ask for a leave of absence from your team in professional sports unless you are telling them why it is you're going out for a few days.
Oh, yeah, you do, dude. I've been to Christmas parties where wives get in fights. They drag each other out by the hair. I've seen crazy, crazy-ass stuff happen, you know, with teams and teammates and all that. And there's stuff like coaches or front office people never find out about. I would not be surprised because you're so in tune. Like, I'm just such a hockey guy, and so I'm going to worry about this, that. My third line, second line's not scoring, you know, getting all some point production. And all of a sudden, two comes in. Hey, I need this because of this. Like, whoa! Didn't see that one coming. Go. Go take your three.
Right, but that means he told them.
And it's almost
if he just comes in and says, Coach, I need 3 days off. I need to walk away from the team for 3 days.
Can't do that. Nope.
What?
Nope.
For what?
Why?
The hell's going on?
Why?
I pay you $7 million a year.
Goalie, right.
What?
But you understand why to the team, this might be sort of a relief. Okay, now we know what the deal is. Go fix that so you can get your ass back because all of a sudden we're thinking you just drop off the cliff and you just can't see the damn puck anymore. And you can't play goalie. Like, it's alarming.
If there was something that he deemed serious enough to take away 3 days to spend with the family and get things right, something tells me that's not just disappearing overnight, whatever those issues are.
No, because you're going to be on watch. Now, that's where they could hold it against him. Like, next time he goes out, say he goes on a little run, then say he just gives up five.
Every time he plays poorly now, someone in there is going to say, hey, everything okay at home?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that what's going to happen?
Mm. Yeah.
Everything all right?
Yeah.
There? Is that thing still going
well,
on?
There's only one guy to blame for that, and that's Tuukka Rask. You got to lie in that bed you made a little bit, you know? It's part of it.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sit right here and have another beer in Mexico.
I did that. We were in Mexico City. Turn up, Jim.
Bert Breer is with us. Bert Breer brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union.
What's up, Bert?
We're free. Happening? Free means free. Free online banking and debit card. No minimum balance. No monthly fee. Visit rfcu.com today and find a location near you. Bert Breer of the MMQB with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
I was at the JW Marriott right there in Mexico City having a beer. Put this on my iPod. And I said, this is cool. Actually having a beer in Mexico. That ain't happening Monday.
That's
Bert.
Not quite
you
a
like
Shaughnessy
it down
level story.
Did you have a good time down there? I love it down there.
Played a song about Mexico when I was in Mexico. It was amazing.
But
did you ever feel like you were endangered at all? Was there any like area that you guys went through to look like?
When they took us outside the 4-block area where we stayed, yes. Absolutely 100%.
Okay.
When we got to the airport.
So his biggest danger in Mexico was himself.
Yeah. You got your own damage. You know, sometimes you damage
yourself.
Screw
you, I'll drink what I want.
Hashtag do damage.
Well, the problem was, the team, I came back to work that week. The team stayed at the Air Force Academy, worked out there at the elevation, and then flew down from there. I had to take three, and that's a bitch of getting down to Mexico.
Which is hilarious because like, the Rams are there now. The Rams are in Colorado Springs right now. They're just they're there this week to get ready for elevation.
Well, now they're ready for the smoke when they get back to L.A.
That's like, funny smoke, huh?
Right? I just see this. They're going from poor playing conditions in Mexico.
Yeah.
So if you don't know by now, the NFL has decided that they cannot play the game that was scheduled in Mexico. And I think one of the biggest motivating factors. One of the biggest motivating factors, I think, in this, and you probably know much more than we know, Bert, is that players were going to protest the game. They were going to boycott it. They weren't going to go out there and play on what was basically a dirt field.
And it's, I mean, like, credit to the players. Like, credit to guys like Todd Gurley, like Kareem Hunt, like Sammy Watkins, who are willing to say something and say, I'm not going and risking my health out there. Like, that, like, good for them, because
this isn't like the Redskins field years ago when RG3 hurt his thing or you know,
that Redskins field is pretty bad.
Always
FedEx,
bad.
FedEx field is bad,
The pictures from Mexico City are nothing even remotely close to that.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing. This is worse than a cow pasture.
Right. And so, like, how bad would that be if you went down there? And look, part of this too, like the league has got a PR problem in Mexico too, because it took them forever to go back there.
Right.
You guys remember the first year they went back, the Texans went there.
We played.
Do you guys remember what got out?
It's the Cowboys.
Do you guys remember what got out when the Texans went there?
No.
The team put out a memo about not players not ordering room service caused a huge problem down there. You guys remember that?
Well, we brought our own food in.
So they brought.
Well, is that why they did it?
So
they
the Texans put out this memo of all these things they shouldn't do, right?
As we got last year.
And it wound up getting out. And it wound up causing like a major PR problem for the league. Because you know what people.
But
you
you're in a different country where you're not used to.
But you know how people take that. So they,
Bert, I walked around where chickens were out on wood in 85.
So I'm not saying they weren't right to do it, the Texans. I think they were right to do it. But you know how that looks, right? Like, that looks like, okay, here come the Americans, and they're not. You know how that looks. Like,
I guess.
All I'm saying is that the league already has a PR problem in Mexico, and now they go down there, and you see, like, they didn't want to pull this game out of there. The NFL did not want to pull this game out of there because it's a big market for them. It's one of the few foreign countries where football really does, like, they go to England. Football doesn't really matter in England, right?
Yeah, you have Raider and Cowboy fans in Mexico.
In Mexico, there really is there's an actual NFL fan base, and so like this is they did everything they could to try to get the game played there, and like how the league let it get to this point where this is happening the week of the game, right?
How do you not have wind of how this field is starting to look?
I mean, I know they do site visits.
Well, they did.
And stuff
they
like
knew
that.
About a week ago there was a concert there that they had on the field. I think 10 days ago.
Yeah.
And it completely destroyed the field.
Do you understand what the concert was? It was a free concert. And if you go down there, the Stadium Azteca is not in a good neighborhood at all, to sum it up. And there's basically just like the typical like fence you see, the metal fence.
Yep.
All around the border. And there's holes cut all through it. And it looks like it's run down. Okay. Yep.
They have a surface that I've never even heard of.
They invite everybody in for free for this.
The Packers actually have that surface.
Do they really?
The Packers.
It's a combination.
It's a hybrid. It's a hybrid.
How does that even work?
I don't even know.
Combination grass and turf.
They sow the grass into it's really weird. The Packers have it because the Packers can't, like, they want to have natural grass, right? Green Bay has it because they want to have natural grass, but it's in that environment in like northern Wisconsin. It's like you can't. So they found a way to do it. And the grass in Green Bay is beautiful.
I've never heard of this.
The grass in Mexico City.
I didn't even know this stuff existed.
Gorgeous last year. It was gorgeous. It was a great playing surface last year. We didn't have problem with it.
They had a free concert. Nice. They let a lot of people in, and they completely destroyed the field.
They let them walk on the field with no coverage.
Right. I mean, if you go to like Fenway Park, for example, does concerts in season.
There's always the boards on
the
field.
And Gillette does it even though they have turf.
Right.
they cover their own turf.
Gillette covers their turf with these sort of plastic, vinyl panels
that are
like 3 inches up off the ground. Yeah. And you create a platform on top of. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
A floor on top of the field that sort of protects the field itself.
Yep.
And they didn't do that. And
you jam
tens of thousands of people in there, and all of a sudden you ruin a field.
Yeah. And what happens at a concert? Like, I mean, like, the idea that it would be okay to just have people walking around on the grass at a concert.
I mean, it's
like, have you seen like the like
dancing, the, running, well, pouring their drinks out? Like, you destroy it.
Well, that's like the grass area at Great Woods, whatever they call it now.
Oh yeah.
Like, what do you think?
Xfinity Center.
Like, what do you think that looks like? Like at the end of the summer, right? Like, that's what you're doing.
Probably pretty beat up.
Yeah.
But I mean, to understand the amount of money that it takes to go down. Like, we had the entire organization down because they were in, you got to uproot everybody.
Yep.
You take two planes, you don't even take one, and you got to have a base out in Denver, and then you got to take that base, then you go take over an entire hotel. We were at the JW, forget where the Raiders were, and the league was at the Intercontinental. There was three gorgeous hotels, boom, boom, boom. And the four-block radius around where we were, where the Capitol building was there, the theater, performing arts, it was a gorgeous area where we were, for a four-block area. But then you go outside that, and there's guys walking around, machine guns, tanks. Like, we got escorted by tanks, Hummers, guys on top of trucks, you know, sitting stationary like SWAT teams. It was, you weren't on alert when you were there at your hotel. You were alert once you got outside the perimeter. But the league did a great job establishing the perimeter. That comes at a cost.
Yeah.
Because Goodell and his whole crew was at the Intercontinental.
So, Bert, this is what I'm curious to know. If it weren't for
the
players,
money?
If the players weren't threatening the boycott, would they have gone through with this game?
I think it depends on the way. They would have had to make a decision by today. I think the rule is, like, if you're going to move a game, you got to make it before the work week starts. So if it's a Sunday game, that'd be a Tuesday. Obviously, they're playing on Monday night, so that would be today.
What they were probably trying to do is acquire field. Like, they were trying to get in touch with whatever turf farm was the closest there. How quick can we get a turf, lay it? And I think it's a three-day minimum.
What I can tell you, Beatles, they were working earlier this week to try to make it happen. But they were working earlier this week to try and make it happen.
What a wreck. So here they are, but they're down there taking the pictures. And I put two of the pictures out that Jim found and ended up getting like 700,000 interactions with it. But you look closely at the pictures. So there's inspectors all over the field looking at the field. And there's soccer players all around. There's people playing on the field. There's a little kid here. It's almost like they allow whoever wants to come in.
Whatever.
So, Bert,
it's how they used to, like, leave college stadiums open so kids could come and run the stairs or whatever.
Hey, last week, the game in L.A. was in danger because of the fires. Mm-hmm. Is that a possibility again by Monday night?
I mean, who knows? You know, it's an air quality issue. And I know, like, they were on alert last week in L.A. and also in San Francisco.
Right.
For the Monday night game. And so that's certainly a possibility. I think we all see what's happening out in L.A.
Where are they based? Thousand Oaks, right?
They're Thousand Oaks. And they're like, where they are, the crazy thing about where they are is they're like less than, their facility is less than 5 miles away from where the shooting happened at the bar. And I think the number I got on Sunday was, I think there are 45 staffers that have been evacuated because of the fire. So their area is dealing with both things right now. Now, where the stadium is, as you guys know, is a completely different area than where, you know, that is, than Thousand Oaks. So I think everything will be okay. And if you watch the game on Sunday, you can sort of see the haziness in the background.
Right.
I don't know that it's necessarily affected, like, that area where the Coliseum, which is basically...
Well, it's not near there, but it's an air quality thing. It's not about a fire.
I think all that stuff's going more north.
Well, the fire last night kicked back up. It's out near San Bernardino. So you're talking like 50, 60 miles east of L.A.
Right.
But I'm just, you know, that could travel.
I mean, it's something that they've monitored.